You know, there's nothing sadder than having no Christmas presents to unwrap at Christmas. Wouldn't that be sad? When I was 9 years old, in October, my parents found out that I was having trouble seeing the blackboard at school, so we had to go out and get me my first pair of glasses. And back then, that $120 that my parents spent on that pair of glasses was a lot of money to them. And in fact, my dad used it as an opportunity to enrich my life and pick on me. And he told me that because they spent $120 on my glasses, that I would be getting no Christmas presents that Christmas. My glasses were my Christmas present. And as you realize, I took that very well. And Christmas morning, we had this ritual in the Christman family that we'd all get up at the same time, or at least I'd wake everybody up in the household, and then we'd all get up. And we'd have to line up at the top of the steps. We kind of lived in this old, beat-up Victorian mansion in the middle of Emmaus. I don't know if you know one of those houses, but it had one of those sweeping stairwells downstairs, and we'd have to line up at the top of the steps and walk down the steps and see all our Christmas presents for the first time. Well, my parents held on to this ruse all the way through Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. So Christmas morning, all my sisters got up before I did, and I didn't even want to get out of bed. In fact, it took my father to come in and threaten me with a little bit of discipline. Back then, he could still discipline me. He threatened me with a little bit of discipline, and I got out of bed begrudgingly. And that year, it was oldest to youngest, so I was in the back of the line, which made matters worse. And we began walking down the steps to see what my sisters got for Christmas. And of course, our old house had one of those stairways that when you got a certain point down, there was a ceiling there that you could see the whole room after you got by it. But I was so disappointed and so disgruntled that morning that I didn't even want to look out into the room. I came stumping down the steps. I know this surprises all of you. I came stumping down the steps looking at that bare wall with my hand on the handrail. You know, one of those old ones that you could slide down but with a thing on the end that hurt you when you ran into it. Did that twice. That was enough. And I was looking this way, and one of my sisters, when they got to the point where they could see their presence, went, oh, and that caught my attention. And as I entered the room, my eyes swept over to the corner where my presence would normally sit, and there sat a huge group and package of presents that I could unwrap. Yeah, my little girl just went, I didn't do that, but I was like, wow, I got so excited. I ran past my sisters to my place and sat there waiting to open each one of my presents one at a time. There's nothing sadder than not having a gift to open at Christmas. Today we're going to be talking about unwrapping the gifts that God has already given you to give back to Him. We've already talked about the time, and we've already talked about the treasures that God has given us to give back to Him for His work, but I'm going to ask you to grab your program and pull out the sermon outline for this morning. It has your scripture text on it for this morning, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the reason I want you to have that is I'm going to ask you to underline some stuff as we read it together so that you can follow along and know that you're reading the exact same thing I am. But there's some important parts I want you to grapple with and grasp today as we talk about the gifts and the talents that God has given us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 4. Here we go. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. I want you to underline that part. In all men. And if you're a woman here today, I want you to write woman on the end there. All right, to know that you're not excluded in this. All right, I want you to jump down with me to verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. We were all baptized into one Spirit, into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free. We were all given to one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If a foot says, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wants them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but, say it with me, one body. You know, I want to invite you today, to unwrap the gifts that God has already given you. You might not be sitting there thinking, Rick, you don't understand, I don't have anything to give. Just like John's money disappeared like that, my money disappears the same way, so I don't really have anything to give to God. And Rick, if you would know how busy I was, you would know how much my time flies and disappears, you would understand that I really don't have anything else left to give. I'm so tired, I'm so worn out, I have nothing left to give. And Rick, if you would know that I don't have any talents, I'm not really all that gifted. I'm not really all that special. I have nothing to give to God. You would not be preaching this sermon this morning. And I have to tell you that if those statements are true, then we might as well pack up shop, lock our doors, and disappear. Because our mission in this church is that you find your purpose and your mission and your special gift that God has given each and every one of you, and then you use that gift for his purpose and for his calling and to enhance his church. And if we don't believe that, if you're sitting in this pew today and you don't believe that, then you're not believing what we're called to do as a church. We get so excited that when somebody comes in and discovers Jesus Christ and grows closer to him and then connects with him and a few other people within the church, that's great. We get excited about that, but that's not the end. It's only the beginning. And then he gets in a life-to-life group or with a couple other people where they can grow and they can become to be more like Jesus. That's great. We get excited about that. We jump up and down. But you know what? The only thing that gets us ultimately excited is when we reach our goal, that you find your purpose and you find your mission and heaven rejoices. And I want you to find that today. I want you to find that today. I want you to understand that God gives everybody gifts. And whether it is one of two types, he gives every single one of us gifts. And today what I want you to know is God gives you specifically two gifts, two types of gifts that you can use for him. The first type of gift that God gives us is God-given. A great example of this is if we were to go back to the Old Testament, to Daniel chapter 1, and we would see Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Abednego, and we would see those four people. When they were done with this, their training, their person who was in charge of the group said this: they are head and they are shoulders above the rest. Daniel was such a great God-given leader that he had led besides three of the most powerful kings of his time. And at one point, ruled the entire kingdom because it was a God-given gift. You might have the gift of music, and when you have that, people go, absolutely, unbelievably, wow. You might have the gift of leadership like Daniel had. You might have the gift of organization. You know the person who has that. They somehow walk into a room, and magically, it appears, and it is organized, and you look at them, and you go, how in the world did you do that? Right? For those of you shaking your head, you're going, you're not that person. You love those people, but you're not that person. It is a God-given gift that people look at you and go, wow, you are able to do these things. The second one is not so easy to identify, and I want you to hear this one because this is the one that gives God most of the glory. In fact, let's stop for a second and go back. Let's talk real quick about why God gives those given gifts. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 on your outline. Flip it over to the other side. I want you to read this, and I want you to see this with me. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the what? The common good. Daniel's leadership was meant to save the kingdoms that God had put in place. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's gift of leadership and to have the ability to stand up in the midst of trials and tribulations allowed God to be glorified in those moments. It's so that when people see those gifts and those gifts are looked at, they're used, as it said here, it says, for the common good. Underline that. It's for the common good. When we use these gifts, when we plug these gifts in, when we get to the point where God is using us, people look at us and go, wow, there's something unique about that person. I'd love to know more, and that gives us an opportunity to share Jesus. The second type of gift God gives us, and this is a harder one for us to see, is the weakness-given gift, I call it. The weakness-given gift, where God uses you in your weakness, where God calls you to do something, and you look at that job or that project or that ministry, and you go, there's no way I can do it. If we were to go back to the Old Testament again and we were to see Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 14, we'd almost see this conversation. You remember the burning bush? And Moses saw it and he went up to the burning bush, and we realize now that it was God Almighty. He took shoes off and he knelt down in front of it. And the burning bush told him, I want you to go to Egypt and I want you to set my people free. And you can almost hear the conversation. It goes something like this as Moses responds back. He goes, But God, I don't speak well. Can you hear it? But God, I'm not a good leader. But God, I'm not. I'm not strong enough. And I think it's really cool at the end of that passage where God comes to Moses and Moses finally goes, okay, begrudgingly, I will go do this for you. It's kind of like a 15-year-old kid telling their parents to go mow the grass. I will go do this for you, but I'm not strong enough. I'm a good speaker. I am not able to do this. And when he asks God, who should he say sends him? What does God respond? What does he respond? I am. And I don't think that's just for the Egyptians. I think that's for Moses. I think when Moses said, I'm not a good speaker, God said what? I am. When Moses said, I'm not a good leader. Remember the last time I was down there and I tried to create a revolution? I almost got killed. I almost got thrown out the door. I'm not a good leader. But God said what? I am. When Moses said, I'm not strong enough to make the journey. I'm not strong enough to stand up to my stepbrother. I'm not strong enough to do this. God said what? I am. It reminds me when I was in third grade. And I was at Washington Elementary School in Emmaus, Pennsylvania. And I remember daily my teacher telling me while I was in school how stupid I was. Don't laugh. But she'd tell me that. She would tell me how stupid I was. In fact, when we had our parent-teacher conference, my parents brought me, which was probably the worst decision they ever made. They didn't know it until we got there. She proceeded to tell them in my presence how stupid I was, how I was never going to graduate the third grade, when I grew up, I was going to be a bum, and I was just a plain idiot. A teacher told my parents this, okay? And I was sitting there. And I have to tell you how that affects me. Whenever I'm called of God to do something, whether it's great or small, all of a sudden those voices in the back of my head start speaking to me. When I went to college and I signed up to go to college, luckily they took everybody who had a pulse because they took me. And I remember every semester that I would start, these voices would start in my head, Rick, you're stupid, you can't do this, you're an idiot, you're not going to be able to survive college, you're not going to be able to do this. And somehow I would have to get those voices out of my head and step forward and go and start again. And now I got a college degree. Thank you. And then I had to go to seminary. For goodness gracious, what are they trying to do to me? And every time I'd start, I'd have to go through the same thing again for another 5 years. I completed it really quickly. I took a 3-year program. It took me 5 years. And again, all I heard were the voices. And even today, when I try to step out and do things, for example, like the New Mexico mission trip last summer that was extremely successful, When I began to get the vision for that, the voices in my head told me, there's no way you're organized enough. There's no way you're smart enough. There's no way you're a good enough leader to get this done. There is no way you can do that. And I had to go back in my head and go, no, that's not true, because I may not be a good leader, but God is. I may not be the smartest whatever in the whatever, but God is. And I might not be strong enough to do it, but you know what? God is. And let me tell you what happens in your weakness. When you get broken enough to allow God to do things in your weakness, this is the really cool part. People finally look and go, there is no way that Rick Christman should have been able to do that. That had to be a God thing. Am I right? There is no way that Rick Christman should be able to do that. That had to be a God thing. And I want to tell you, you have the same voices. A lot of you have the same voices I do. And a lot of those voices keep you from being capable. They hold you back from realizing the talents that God wants you to share. They tell you you're not good enough, and I'm telling you you are, because God is. They tell you you're not strong enough, but I'm telling you you are, because you know what? God is. And when we do it for Him, when we step up for Him, we begin to realize the talents and recognize the talents that we have for God. There are a couple other things that keep us from those talents. Not only the lies that we tell ourselves in our heads, but how about the fear that we face when we start something new? How about the fear we face? Do you remember the story of Gideon? Do you remember that story? Gideon is in the wine press, thrashing his wheat to get rid of the wheat chaff. Now, I farmed for 3 years. Wheat chaff is kind of like this really small bits of stuff that when you throw it up in the air, the wind comes along and blows it off and the good wheat falls down. It doesn't work real well when you're in a walled area, because when you throw it up, the wind doesn't come and blow it away. But why was he in there? He was, and then he'd look around to make sure nobody saw him. He was in there because he was afraid of the Midianites. He was afraid of that 150,000 man army who was coming to take everything away from them. And when the angel of the Almighty showed up and said, warrior, great and awesome and mighty warrior, Gideon probably did one of these. But he was afraid. He had to ask God two or three times to show him truth. And because he stepped out of his fear, he and 300 men, now listen to this, he and 300 men, with God's help, defeated a 150,000 man army. There is nobody in the history of the world, I want you to listen, who looked at that battle and went, wow, Gideon's a great leader. What did they say? Wow, look what God did. Look how amazing God is. Look how great God is. The last thing that keeps us from recognizing and keeping us from recognizing our talents is giving to the good and not to the great. How many of you were here last week when Pastor Al brought out a jar? Remember the same table? He brought out a jar. He set it here. What did he put in first? He put in apples. Those were the big things in life, the great things that God wants you to do. And he put those apples in the jar and he set them in there. And then what was the second thing he put in? Anybody remember? Kidney beans, right? Kidney beans. And he poured them in. And then when it looked like you could put nothing else in that jar, what did he pour in? He poured water in and showed that if you use your time and give it over to God, God's going to bless you and allow you to organize it in such a way that you will be able to get all the great things done that He wants you to get done. I asked Jackie Itesta if I could share this story. She told us during staff meeting one day that she was filling out her calendar. She does this organizational thing where she takes a calendar, and it's like one of these big ones that's a month at a glance, and she takes out her highlighters, and she highlights all the things, parish nurse that she has to do, her mother things that she has to do, all the things she has to do. And you would admit with me that Jackie Itesta does a lot of great and good things around here, am I right? Be honest, Liz, come on. She's just incredible. The people she touches in this church are absolutely amazing. And for 2010, she got all her colors filled in and got them all put in on the calendar. And when she was all done, she pulled out her God pen, which was purple, and she went to put it inside the calendar. And when she got to put it inside the calendar, guess what she found? You know the answer. There was no room in there. And she was like, And she realized that something that was good had to go for the great. And so she went back and took something out and put in God. And so our joke as a pastoral staff, you're not allowed to say this, only we are. We ask her how her purple's going. That's our joke. How is her purple going? So that she can keep the apples, the big things in. And we get so tied up with doing so many good things. We can do a lot of good things and we miss the great things. I'm telling you, each and every one of you has either been given a God-given gift or going back, a weakness-given gift when he calls you. And each of you have been given a gift so that you can do for the good of all the others, for the church and for his place and for his calling. But when we unwrap our talents, we can unwrap our talents for a couple of places. We can unwrap our talents for use in the church. Do you know that there is a junior in high school boy right now who's down in our three-year-old classroom teaching today? Did you know that? I don't know of many junior-age boys, 17-year-old boys, who would want to teach three-year-olds. But because he saw the need and because nobody else stepped up, he has been willing to use whether it's his gift or it's his weakness gift. I haven't seen him teach yet, all right? So I can't tell you either one it is. But he is there every single week because he is willing to step up for the church and he's willing to glorify God in that simple time that he gives. For some of us, our talents are used within the church. For some of us, our talents are used for reaching outside the church. How many of you remember last week when we prayed over and dedicated the friendship connection, those people who are going to go outside of our church and share the gospel and to share the love of Jesus in a very simple way by sharing the love of Jesus just by being there? And for some of us, we are called to the ultimate gift, which is the talent of reaching outside of our country. If you don't believe that to be true, can I introduce you to a couple by the name of John and Terry Brynan? This guy had a great job, beautiful house. He gave up his job, he gave up his house, sold it so that he could go to Africa and he could share the love of Jesus with some Pokot people, the kids and the adults, and to reach out to them. Each of us is called. Each of us is gifted. What is God calling you to do? My guess is over the past year, God has been telling you something that you should be doing, and you're telling him, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough time, and God, I am not gifted enough to do that. And I'm telling you this morning that those are absolutely lies that God is telling you. I mean, that your mind is telling you. Because when we get a glimpse of who God wants us to be, it's amazing the amount of time that God frees us up with. It's amazing the amount of money he gives us up to give. And it's amazing the amount of talent that he provides for us in incredible, incredible ways. How about you this Christmas season? What kind of gifts are you giving to God and unwrapping this Christmas? What kind of gifts are you unwrapping for God this Christmas? Are they treasures? In fact, you know what? I made a promise at the beginning of this worship service. Am I right? I did. John, could you come up here, please? And I made a promise to Lynn. Could you come up here, please? Now, I asked you if you trust me, John. Am I right? Take your time. And you were kind of worried about that. A little bit. Yeah, I can be sometimes a little different. Yeah, I got that. That's a gift of God to be different, by the way. But I promised you that if you let me that money, I would get it to you by the back. And, you know, there's a really cool part about this is there is true that what John said, that there is joy in giving God our treasures. And so let's give you a little bit of treasure right now. You ready? All right. What did I give you? $20 bill? I think this belongs to you, right? Yeah. Right? He quickly puts it in his wallet. You notice that? He's like, I'm not giving it back to you. I'm giving it back to you. But you know what? There is joy in trusting God and giving it to him. It is truly amazing. That was a simple magic trick, but God is truly amazing. I took something from this guy too, right? Right? Yeah. What's sitting down there?
How did you get it on that? I know that. How did you put it on that?
Right? Yeah. He was missing this?
Right.
In fact, last service he told me he was naked without it. Yep, he can get over that. Because you know what? When we're willing to give God and to God our treasures, our time, and our talents, amazing things will happen. Am I right?
Yes.
Am I right? And here's the problem. We've given of our money, right? We've given of our time. We're missing something here. What are we missing? You know why? They're still all out there. If you grab your program and pull out the sermon outline, thank you very much. Let's give these guys a big round of applause as they go back. Thank you very much for helping me. On the bottom and back page of your sermon outline, there is a question or there is a statement. Gifts I am opening to God's use in 2010. And I'm telling you, each and every one of you has been given tremendous gifts that you don't even realize yet. Whether it's treasures or time or talents, I would like for you in the next few moments to take this, fold it in half, fill it out, rip it off, and let's fill our empty present up here. What do you think? What gifts are God asking you to give this Christmas? Right now, we have two of some of our most talented teenagers. We have amazing, talented teenagers in this church. And Emily and Stephen Outland have offered to share some special music while we write down our gifts and talents. And I am just so thankful for both of them that they're here today. And they are a true object lesson to exactly what we're talking about here today. With hard work and gifts that God has already given them, they get to do amazing things like they're about to do for you. But don't get so tied up in what they're going to do that you forget to fill this out. What are your talents and gifts that you're going to give to God this Christmas? Fill it out, bring it up front, throw it in our box, and let's give God our talents today as we give back to Him. What is truly amazing is that when we are willing to step out of our comfort zone and see ourselves as God sees us, really cool things can happen within this church here at Trinity EC Church. And my prayer is that as you go from this place and you leave, you remember and look for the ways God is calling you to step out and step up with the gifts that He has given you. Don't listen to those voices in the head. They only slow you down. You hearing me? They only slow you down. God has great things in store for you. If you haven't got a chance to come up and do this, Lynn Miller is going to come up and lead our last hymn. We've made a simple change today, so he's going to announce that. But please feel free to continue bringing your gifts up and placing them here in our gifts, God.